Okay, today's daf is Bab Metzia daf Kuf Yud Ches. We are on daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and again tomorrow we finish the Masechta with a short daf, so we're going to try to leave a little bit of learning to still do for tomorrow. So we left off in the middle of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. First one in line is Amar. We are up to the word Amar. Says the Gemara, Amar Avacha Bar Ada Mishmedu Ula Tachton Habal Lashanos Bigvil Shomenlo. Now, what this is going to discuss is if when the house, again, we're discussing cases of Bayis Va'aliyah. The whole parak is about cases of Bayis Va'aliyah, where there are situations that arise due to the fact that there are two people living in a house, one person on the bottom floor, one person on the top floor. In the case, in the particular case we're discussing now, the entire Bayis Va'aliyah fell down, and now they want to rebuild it. So, certainly, if they want to rebuild it the same way that it was built initially, so no one's going to argue, that's certainly permissible. Over here, we're going to discuss when someone wants to make changes, they figure once they're rebuilding anyway, they want to make changes in the way that they rebuild at least their half of the house. So first we're going to discuss if the bottom guy wants to make changes, what kinds of changes he can make. And there's really only one rule, even though we're going to say lots of different halachas. And the rule is, anything that's going to make it worse for the guy on top, whether it be structurally or whether it be the way he's going to live, is going to be problematic. The bottom guy cannot do. Anything that's going to make it better for the guy on top than it otherwise would have been, the guy on the bottom is allowed to do. So says the Gemara, Tachton Habal Lashanos Bigvil Shomano. If he wants to move to a wider brick, so then we certainly listen to him. And this is another connection you have all over the place toward the end of this Masechta, a connection to the very beginning of Maseches Baba Basra, because we're going to be discussing the width of different bricks at the very beginning of Maseches Baba Basra when we talk about walls between two chatzeros and how wide various materials are that are used to build walls. So anyway, if a guy wants to use a gvil brick on the bottom, Shomano, we're going to listen to him because that's wonderful for the top guy. It's going to give a firmer base to the house, and his aliyah is now going to be much sturdier. It's going to be on a wider. It's going to be on a wider base. So that's wonderful for him. Because this ain't Shomano. However, if he wants to use a less wide brick, then we're not going to listen to him, because again, he's going to make it worse for the guy on top. Or when the aliyah is resting on a narrower brick, it's not good for the aliyah. Bikfisin Shomano, if he wants to use half bricks instead of whole bricks, that's okay, we listen to him. Why? So says Rashi, Kfisim Archi Chatzai Levenim, they're half Levenim bricks, V'rach Van Tefach U'mechza, and since they're half bricks, each one is a tefach and a half wide. V'nosin Ariach Mikan V'Ariach Mikan V'Tefach Havanim Dakos V'Sid Beinehem. It's like when we brick a house, so you have the width of the brick, but then you have cement in between to hold it together. So when they would use these half bricks, they wouldn't just pile the half bricks on top of each other. They would put them side by side and put sid in between them, put cement in between them. And therefore, even though each half brick is only a tefach and a half, so you would think you put two of them together, you're left with three tefachim. In fact, you weren't left with three tefachim because you would have a tefach of cement in the middle, so you were actually left with four tefachim. So you have a wider wall of four tefachim. But if a guy says, I want, even though we previously used half bricks, I want to use whole bricks, so then we're not going to listen to him because the whole bricks are only three tefachim because they don't have any cement in the middle. They're complete bricks. Rashi says, klal hadavar, the bottom line is, the rule is, hatachton shemarchiv ove abinyin umachziko shomenlo. If the guy on the bottom will widen and strengthen the thickness of the building, of the foundation, so we listen to him and we allow him to do so. Immimait chizuko ein shomano. If he wants to make it weaker, we do not listen to him. She'elyon toan olamachar yipol ve'elyon shabalahach, because the guy on top could say, look, tomorrow it's going to fall down if you make it weaker. And the rule in the reverse is, ve'elyon shabalahach b'res hamasa tachton ma'akev alav. Anytime the guy on the top makes it heavier, he makes the weight of his upstairs apartment heavier to be supported by the foundation of the guy on the bottom, so then we can stop him from doing that. Wherever he's going to make it lighter, we're going to listen to him. Says the Gemara Vayter, the Sachich Ba'arazim Shomano, if a guy wants to use arazim as the cedar wood for the beams of the ceiling, so that's fine. But if he wants to use sycamore wood, we don't listen to him. Again, it has to do with how much support it's giving the top apartment. If he wants to put fewer windows in the bottom floor, we listen to him, because obviously it's more solid if you don't have holes in the middle of the wall, so the foundation is more solid. If he wants to add more windows, then we're not going to listen to him, because that's going to weaken again the foundation of the binyan, because you have the holes all over the walls for the windows. Lahagbia ain't shomano. If he wants to raise the ceilings, make a higher ceilings in his bottom apartment, we do not listen to him, because again, the higher a building is, the more difficult it is to make it sturdy. But lema'et shomano. But if he wants to make it lower, he wants to make his ceiling lower, then we will listen to him. That's going to be fine. The Rashi says that the reason Lahagbiyah is a problem is not an issue of sturdiness. It's interesting that Rashi put this klal before, right in the middle of all the cases. We're talking about different types of bricks, and we're talking about the width of the bricks, and then Rashi says there's this rule: whenever it makes the bottom floor stronger, with the top floor stronger, it's fine. When it's going to make it weaker, it's not fine. And then the Gemara continued to go on to Arazim, and meaning it wasn't a logical place to put that rule. You would think he'd put the Klala Davar either at the very beginning or at the very end. So the indication is that the Klal only goes on those first few cases of bricks, that all the other cases that we have afterwards of the Arazim versus the Shikma and the Laharbos Bechalonos Lema'it, Lahagbiyah and Lema'it don't have to do with that klal. Now, does Rashi follow that through entirely? Not really. Meaning, Rashi with the Arazim, with the what you use for a ceiling, so Rashi seems to fit that perfectly into the klal. With the Chalonos, also seems to fit perfectly into the klal. It's only over here where he veers from the klal by Lahagbiyah. By Lahagbiyah, he says, Chalal Abayis Ein Shomun Lo Shematriach Esa'elion Lalos. The problem with the bottom guy making it higher is that it's going to be much more of a tircha for the guy living on the top floor to have to walk up all those stairs, that he has to walk up to an even higher spot. Va'od, and then he says, yeah, it fits in with the klal also. Sha'anam chazak min agvala, that anything lower is stronger than anything that's higher. Okay, that's all if the bottom guy wants to change things. Elyon shabal l'shanos, if the top guy wants to change things, so it's mostly going to be the opposite. Beguzis shaman lo, if he wants to change things and use guzis instead of gvil, which is a narrower stone and therefore lighter, wonderful. Begvil ain't shaman lo. If he wants to use gvil, which is a wider stone, so we don't allow him to do that. Begfisin ain't shaman lo, belevedim shaman lo. If he wants to use half bricks, which are ultimately going to be wider and heavier because you need more cement, so we don't listen to him. The Levinim, he wants to use whole bricks that are ultimately going to be narrower and less heavy, so we do listen to him. Arazim ain't shomen lo, b'shikma shomen lo. If he wants to use arazim, cedar wood, we don't allow him. Shikma, we do allow him, because it's lighter. L'rabos b'chalono shomen lo, if he wants to make more windows, and again, therefore have a lighter wall, so we listen to him. L'mait b'chalono ain't shomen lo, if he wants to make fewer windows, we do not listen to him. Lahagbia in Shomanol, the Ma'it Shomanol. If he wants to make it higher, we don't listen to him, because again, the higher it is, the heavier it is, and the less sturdy it is. And Lema'it, if he wants to make his apartment lower, then Shomanol, because it's only going to be better for the guy on the bottom. The Rush says, in the name of the Ravid, that Behechreich, we have to say that all that it says over here about the Elyon Abolishanos Lahosif, that anytime he's coming to be Mishan and to add weight to the binyan, that we don't listen to him, that's only when there's no minhag yadua. It's only when there's no standard practice in terms of building. But whenever there's a minhag yadua, he's always allowed to change to conform to the minhag. Meaning, if everyone in the community has houses that are built out of a certain material, and previously they were the only ones that had a house that was built out of something else, so he's allowed to conform to the community standard, even though it's going to be heavier than what was previously built. Because that's always the real rule in terms of what you have a right to build, is the community standard. Now, once you want to change from the standard, you want to veer from the standard, well, if you're going to do something that's nicer to the guy in the bottom, that's fine. But you're going to do something that's more difficult for the other guy, then it's going to be a problem. Fine. Says the Gemara, Ein lo lezeh v'lo lezeh mai. What's the halacha if we have a bayis v'aliyah, the whole place caves in, the whole thing falls down, and neither of them has money to rebuild it? So what do you do now? So what do you mean, what do you do now? You don't rebuild it. What's the shayla? If neither of them has money to rebuild it, what's the issue? So says Rashi, no, what we're asking is, Ein lo lezeh v'lo lezeh livno aniyim heim, u'bala karka rotza limchor akarka, and the bala karka wants to sell it. So then, may islay the bala aliyah b'karka or lo? What's the din? Does the bala aliyah have a chelik in that karka? Or does he not have a chelik in the karka? That's the shayla. The guy says, look, the owner of the bottom floor says, the owner of the bayis, the bottom floor says, I can't do anything with it anyway because I can't build on it anyhow. Someone else would probably find this real estate useful, so I might as well sell it to them. Question is, does the bala aliyah have any claim on that karka? Says Tosfos, Ain nira l'ri perisha kuntras shapirisha balabayis rotsa limchar asakarka. Tosa says, I do not believe that Rashi is correct when he says that the shaila is about the guy wanting to sell the real estate. The bahalo coming byulay the pshita dein yachal mochro shay meshuba lezel levnos aliyah sham kshayirza. How could you have a havamina that he's just allowed to sell it? Of course he's not allowed to sell it. This karka is meshuba to the bala aliyah to build an aliyah when there is. Whenever he wants, when he has the ability to do so. So if it's not like you give him one shot and if he doesn't build the aliyah, he loses his rights. No, he has there's an ongoing shibud. He has the rights to build an aliyah whenever he can. And if all he's selling is his own rights, so he's selling the right to build a house, provided, and he writes into the contract, you should realize you're only getting the rights that I have, which means that you too, the buyer, are going to be meshuba to a bala aliyah, that he should be able to build an aliyah. So if that's part of the deal, then that's also pashut. Of course he's allowed to do that. If I have certain rights in the chatzar, I can sell those rights as long as I don't go beyond what my rights are. So the issue can't be about him selling it. What the halacha is, if the Baal HaTachton wants to sell it, is a davar pashut. If he tries to sell everything and he says this, it's a total mechira, he has no rights to do that whatsoever. If he sells only his rights and it's still meshubat to the Baal Aliyah, so gesundheit, that's fine. So what is the issue here? Says Tosfos, Elanir Luri, Temairi Sharotza Balabayis Zora, Ubal Aliyah Amar Gamani Ezra. They figure, look, we can't build anything because we don't have any money to build. Why don't we just plant something? So the Bala Abayas figures, I'll plant up this area because this area belongs to me. And the Bala Aliyah says, wait a second, I have rights on this land also because I have rights to have a house on this land, not directly on the land, but above the land. So I should have the right to plant in this area as well. The garden that's planted here should not belong totally to you. Shekam liya karka meshuba da Aliyah. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Matziyam leheich ein lecha klum bekarka elin aliyah bilvad. Or maybe the Bala Bais can say to the Bala Aliyah, no, you only have the rights to build. You don't have anything other than the rights to build. I own the land. So if there's not going to be building, look, you want to build tomorrow because you have enough money? Because then, hey, you could rip up my plants and build tomorrow. But until you come up with enough money, the rights to plant belong to the owner of the land, and I'm the owner of the land, not you. That's the Gemara Shaila. Who's correct in that argument? So Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Tachto Notel Shnei Chalakim, Ve'elyon Shlish. The guy on the bottom gets 2/3, and the guy on the top gets 1/3 of the land to plant. Let's assume like Tosos now. Ve'acherim Omerim, Tachto Notel Shlosha Chalakim, Ve'elyon Notel Revia. And others say that, no, it's a 75-25 split. Either way, you do see that the Elyon does have some rights. He has some rights in the karka itself, and he's going to get some percentage. Not a half right, but he's going to get some percentage. Amar Rabbi, Nekot Rabbi Nassim Biyadcha, Dedainahu, Minachas Lumka Dedine. He says you should follow the sheet of Rabbi Nassim, the 2/3 and 1/3, because Rabbi Nassim is a great Dayan, and he always goes into the depths of the din. He always understands the din very well, so we should follow the sheet of Rabbi Nassim. Kasavar Kama Mafsar Aliyah Bebayis, Tilsa. Hilkach islay tilsa. The assumption is that having an aliyah on top of your house is not good for the house in general. Question is, how not good is it for your house? What does it do when you have something, a top floor on top of your house? So the assumption is that it will lessen the lifespan, the expected lifespan of your house. If a typical house were expected to last for 90 years, when you build an aliyah on top of it, we only expect it to last for 60 years. So since the guy has a right to build an aliyah on top of your house, and by doing so, it's going to cost you essentially one-third of the value of your house, one-third of the lifespan of your house, so therefore, with the karka itself, you're going to have one-third of the Baal Aliyah is going to be entitled to one-third of the space on the karka. That's how Rashi understands this last line over here about the Aliyah being mafs, the bias tilta by one-third. Right, Rashi says, Ka mafsit shlish yimei kiyuma hima maheris lipo machmas masa ha'aliyah. Now one could have argued, and I didn't see it discussed anywhere, but one could have argued that there's a difference, that the ratio shouldn't be exactly the same. That if the house could last 60 years with an aliyah on top of it, 90 years without an aliyah on top of it, that does not necessarily mean, one could have argued, that the Baal Aliyah has exactly one-third of the land. I might have thought that he has a little less than that, because if generally when it comes to valuing a living quarter, the next 60 years are much more valuable to me than years 60 to 90, meaning it's going to last 30 years shorter, but by then the house is going to be 60 years old. Meaning, by the time we get to those years, the house is going to be 60 years old. And it's 60 years off in the future for me, for right now. So, l'chora, one could have assumed that I would value those years less than I would value the first 30 years or the middle 30 years. So just because he's going to cost me those last 30 years where I would have been living in an old house as an old man or whatever, one might have assumed that it doesn't mean he owns one-third. He owns some percentage. He has some rights, but one might not have assumed that it's one-third. But nevertheless, Rabbi Nassan was Yorid L'Umka Dedina, and that's what he determined, that if it's going to last one-third less of the time, then the ownership is exactly one-third. I'm not sure exactly why, but that's what he holds. Says the Mishnah, if there's an olive press that's built on a rock, and there's a gina that's built on top of it, right? And they build a floor on top of the olive press, and there's a garden planted on top of it, the nifchas, and the thing collapses, hari balagina yorid v'zorea lamata, achi yasal beisbado kipin. So then the person who owns the gina, who owns the garden, can go down into the olive press and start planting in the area of the olive press until the guy who owns the olive press builds a new dome on top of the olive press so that the balagina could plant on top of it. If a wall or a tree falls into Rosh Hashanah and does damage, so you pater from paying. Meaning the guy who owns the wall of the tree is pater from paying. That's assuming it fell out of nowhere. This is a discussion in the Poskim in the Achronim. Let's say a guy has a house that's built, and then a hurricane comes and starts blowing things off of his house and doing damage. So do you say that he's pater? So l'chora, let's say I build a house that could be blown over with a ruach mitzuya, right? So if it could be blown over with a ruach mitzuya, that was really negligent of me. I can't build such a house where a ruach mitzuya is going to come and blow pieces of my house all over the place and possibly damage people. So one would argue, well, a hurricane is a ruach sheina mitzuya, and that would fit into this din of the Mishnah that it fell. It was not in your control. You pater milashalin. I just saw last night that in Rav Zilberstein's Sefer, he quotes one of the Gedolei Adar. He doesn't say who it is. He says one of the Gedolei Adar held otherwise. He said that, let's say you have a hurricane every 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. You have a hurricane every once in a while. So if you're in an area that has a hurricane every couple of decades, when you build a house, how long are you planning the house for the house to be able to stand? You're planning on it being able to stand 100 years, something like that. You're planning on it being able to stand long enough that it's normal that within that time span there will be a hurricane. So if you're planning on building it, that it should stand long enough that within that time frame there should be a hurricane, then the hurricane becomes a ruach mitzuya for legabe that house. That's what he wanted to tie in. I thought it was an interesting ha'ara. Rav Zilberstein himself disagreed with it, but that was, he said Rav Eliashiv disagreed with it, simply because that's not what the halacha was koveya. Meaning the fact that if things blow off your house, you would ever be chayiv is a chiddush in halacha. and in the Chabal Chidusha, the Chidush was only said Lagabe Ruch Mitzuya, not Lagabe Ruch Sheina Mitzuya. But logically, it makes a lot of sense. Anyway, says Mishnah Vaitu, Nasal Zman Lakhut Sasilam, the Sars Akosal of the Naflu. What if they give the guy a time frame? They say, okay, by this and this time, you have to knock down, you have to cut down the tree, you have to knock down the wall, and then they fell down. Bitochazman, so if they fell down dirt within that time, they gave him 30 days to cut it down, and it falls down on its own 15 days later, pater. So then he's going to be pater, because they told him he has 30 days, he didn't do anything wrong. La'acharazman chayiv. But if it's 50 days later and it falls down, then he's going to be chayiv, because then he was negligent. He was told that this is dangerous and needs to be removed. You have 30 days to remove it. He did not remove it within that time. Anything that happens that causes damage afterwards is going to be his problem. Misha Yukosel Samach Ginas Chavero, someone whose wall is right near his friend's gina, right near his friend's garden, v'nafal, and it falls, the wall falls into the garden, v'amr lo panei avanecha, and the owner of the garden says, get your stones out of my garden, v'amr lo higiyucha, he says, ah, the stones are yours, you can keep them. Ain shaman lo, we don't listen to him. Meaning, if the guy says, I don't want the stones, I'm not interested in the stones, what do you mean they're mine? I want you to get rid of them. So the Baal Gina is correct. We don't listen to the Baal HaKosel, who says, ah, don't worry, just keep them, and therefore I'm no longer responsible to remove them. If you look at Tosos, the second Tosos on the page, are a little out of order on this page, Amrei Higiyucha Ain shaman lo, Afal gav de mafkir nizak of la'achar nefilas ones, amrinan b'perek haminiach de pater. Even though, generally speaking, if you're mafkir something that can cause damage after it fell ba'ones, it didn't fall as a result of anything you did. It was a total ones when it fell, and then you're mafkir it. The Gemara had said in perek haminiach that you're pater. Over here, you're not going to be pater. Over here, you're going to be chayiv for the damages, and you need to remove it because you're not really intending on giving him the stones. You're just trying to get him to take it away himself and to get out of having to do it yourself. But you're not actually intending on being mafkir the stones. If it was a sincere hefker, then in a chinami, you would not have to remove them. That's one approach from Rishonim. All the Rishonim ask this kasha of why it's any different than the Gemara in Chavtes about being mafkir nechasim after nefilas ones. Different Rishonim give different answers than Tosfos does. The Rush, for instance, is mitaretz that over here it's not lachar nefilas ones, because he damaged his friend's gina as soon as it fell. At the time it fell, it was already damaged to the garden. So because it's damaging to the garden to be full of stones. So when was the Gemara talking about previously where your pater, if you're mafkir after nefilas ones, is if nothing happened b'shas nefila. But over here, something happened at the Shas Nefila. So you bear full responsibility for it because something happened at the Shas Nefila. The Rishash says that we only say this rule that Mafkir Nezakov is Pater when you're Mafkir Rishus Rabin. But to be Mafkir and Rishus Chavero, that we're not going to say is Pater. I mean, the whole clout was only if it ended up being a Barb Rishus Rabin because of an Nefilas Onus. At that point, if you're Mafkir it, you're going to be Pater. But if it fell into somebody else's property, privately owned property, you're not going to be Pater. Another issue that's discussed by some of the Rishonim and Achronim is why we discuss Dafka Gina. Why not into Chatzar Chavero? So the Tosiantif writes that the reason the Mishnah writes that it's samuch leginas chavero, not samuch lechatzero, is because the normal thing is that a kosel between two chatzeros, if it falls down, the normal thing to do is to rebuild it. A gina, which is not an area where people do anything private anyway, it's not normal to have a kosel around a gina. So it's much more likely that you're going to end up with a situation where the guy says, ah, the kosel fell, all right, keep it. And he's not going to be interested in rebuilding it. But if we're a kosel between two chatzeros, and again, a Bab Basra connection, this leads us right into the very beginning of Masechus Bab Basra, where we are going to be discussing the concept of Hezek Re'iyah, that when you have a chatzer, you need to build a wall where people won't be able to see into each other's private property, into the property of their chatzer, because people do private things within their chatzeros. So that's only true by a chatzer. It's not true by a gina, because people are not constantly in their gardens. They go to their gardens when they need to work, and you want to look. Gesundheit, take a look when you want. If you want to see me, if you want to see my garden, as long as it's not something that's constant, it's okay. All right, says the Mishnah Vayter, Mishakibul alav amrlo helchas. Let's say the Bala Kosel said to the Bala Gina, you could keep the stones, you remove them yourself and keep the stones. The Bala Gina then goes and removes all the stones. Then the Bala Chatzar says, you know what? I changed my mind. I'll pay you for the expense incurred in removing the stones, but I want my stones back. Say in Shomala, we don't listen to him. He does not have the ability to do that. If a person hires a worker to help him with hay, with straw, va'amrlo tainli schari, and the worker says, okay, now give me my wages. Va'amrlo talmasha asisa b'scharcha, he says, take as much straw as you want. That's your wages. Ain shamanlo. We don't listen to the Bala Bayis on that level. And if you make such a claim, because again, you have to pay in money, you have to pay in cash when you hire workers. Mishkibul of Amrlo Helach Skarcha Vaniatal Shali, Ain Shamanlo. If the worker said okay, and he was willing to take the straw as his wages, and then the Bala Bayis says, you know what, here, let me give you the money and give me that straw back. I'd prefer to have the straw. So then Ain Shamanlo. We don't listen to him. You're not allowed to do that. The Rashba writes that in general, when it comes to paying in cash versus paying with commodities, so just he identifies what the rule is. The Rashba, the Ran, all the Rishonim, basically just to clarify, they said that there are three separate rules depending on three separate situations. You have a case of a loan, you have a case of damages, and a case of schirus. When it comes to a loan, the halacha is that whenever you have money, whenever you have cash, you have to pay with cash. If you don't have cash, so then the borrower is allowed to collect from your karka or from your metalfalin, whatever he can. Right? That's when it comes to a loan. That ideally you're supposed to, you're chayiv to pay back with cash. If you don't have it, he can collect from your karka or metalfalin. When it comes to nezikin, the din is that even if you have kesef, even if you have cash, you could pay back with whatever you want. Afilu subin, you could pay back with any sort of metaltalin that you're interested. The only thing is, if you're going to pay back with karka, not with metaltalin, so then you got to give your idis, metav sadeu. You have to, because that's a pasuk in the Torah, you have to give your best field. But really, you could pay back whatever you want. You have no obligation, even, when it comes to nezikin, to pay back in cash. When it comes to schiros, when it comes to paying a worker or to a rental payment, even if you don't have cash, the halacha is that the person you owe the money to can say, you go and sell whatever you have in order to be able to collect together the cash, and you give me only cash. Because I took this job, al-minas, that I shouldn't have to go through the tircha of selling whatever commodity you give me as my payment, and only then having cash to put food on my table. I want cash so that I could buy whatever I want with it immediately. I did not accept to go through this tircha when you hired me. So when you pay a worker, paying the worker always has to be with cash. That's the rule in our Mishnah. Okay, says the Gemara. Nifchasa, Rav Amar, so we said in the first case of the Mishnah, you had the olive press on the bottom and the garden on the top, and then the thing caved in, so the guy wants to plant his garden in your olive press, right? So Nifchasa, Rav Amar, Beruba Shmuel Amar Ba'arba. Same achlokas we had yesterday. Rav says Nifchasa means that it's majority of the place caved in, and Shmuel says even just four tefachim. Although Arba should mean Arba Amos, right? Arba'a is Arba tefachim. Surprised Rashi doesn't make a comment over here. Right? Yesterday we had Arba'a. That's interesting. I just noticed that now. Normally when it's Arba, the assumption is Arba Amos. Arba'a is Arba'a tefachim. So I don't know what. I just didn't notice it before. I'm assuming that it's Arba Amos. Rav Amar Beruba, even though it doesn't sound that way from the Hemshech of the Gemara, as we're going to see. Rav Amar Beruba Aval Ba'arba Adam Zareh Chetzel Lamata V'Chetzel Lamala. Rav would say that you need it to be mostly caved in, but for Arba, a person does not have the right to move his entire garden to the bottom floor. Let him plant most of his garden on top, and Arba worth of his garden on the bottom, and he can have a garden that's half here, half there. Ushmul Amar Ba'arba Ein Adam Zareh Chetzel Lamata V'Chetzel Lamala. Shmuel says, no, people don't plant half here, half there. They like to plant all in one spot. And therefore, even if it's only Nifchas Ba'arba, the Balagin is allowed to move his entire garden down to the bottom floor. The Rabbeinu Yonason writes that it's Dafke Negina, that a person is not, that it's Ein Derech Adam Lizroa, to because you have to constantly water it. Meaning, even within this shita that it's not normal, it would dafka be by a gina that needs watering. But a sadabe sabal that only needs watering a couple of times a year, that generally relies on rainwater, so it would be unnecessary. It would be kulei amalo pligi that it's the derech to be chesil lamata v'chesil lamala. That's not that much of an inconvenience to have a little here and a little bit there, because most of the time you don't have to do work and you have to schlep from one place to the other anyway. So it's not that much of an inconvenience. Then everyone would agree that you could do chesil lamala v'chesil lamata. That's why we dafka have to pick a case of gina. Anyway, utzricha diashmin and dira. Now, why do we need to be told both a case of a bayis va'aliyah, where that there's this machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether the nifchas applies to only arba tfachim, or to only ruba, or even arba tfachim, and the case of the gina and the beis habad, aren't they the same concept? So it says Gemara, no. Diashmin and dira bahakam Rishmuel mishum tolavi dinish tidari portaacha portaacha. I would say it's tafka by a dira where it's unusual, it's abnormal for a person to live a little bit here, a little bit there. But when it comes to planting, when it comes to Zriya, I might say that it is normal for a person to plant a little bit here and a little bit there, and maybe Shmuel will be Modar Rav. And if we only would have been told the case of the garden, that's where Rav holds his Shita. But maybe by the Dira, he would be Modar to Shmuel that it's unusual to live half upstairs, half downstairs. That's why we need to be told the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel in both cases, both in the case of a dira and in the case of a gina and a beis habad. Fine. Nusnozman. So the Mishnah said if they give you a time frame by which you're supposed to get rid of your wall, right? So we said if you get rid of your wall within that time frame, wonderful. Or if it falls down even within that time frame and you didn't get rid of it, that's fine. You're not going to be chayev because your time wasn't up yet. So the Kamazman Bezin, how much time does Bezin typically give? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Shloshim Yom. Rabbi Yochanan says 30 days. Now, obviously, the halacha is, if it's going to be something that, if Bezin evaluates that this wall is going to fall within 3 days, they're not going to give you 30 days. Bezin will tell you, you have 3 days to get rid of it. 30 days is that they see that it could last a while, it could last a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, around that ballpark. They're not going to take chances. They're not going to cut it up, you know, cut it so close, right to the edge of when they think it's going to last. They're not going to bring in an engineer, and he's going to say, probably 42 days it will last, and they'll tell you, you have 42 days. No, that's nonsensical for them to take such a risk. So typically what they'll do is, they'll give you 30 days. 30 days is ample warning to get rid of a weak wall, even though they don't believe it's going to fall down within the 30 days. Says Tosos, the top Tosos, Mikanon Ulumedim, Zman Bezin Lefra Chovel, Kamadaram Davilamid Yom. That in general, whenever Bezin gives a time frame, it's almost always 30 days, based on this Gemara. That whenever Bezin has the ability to choose a time frame, they choose 30 days. If you look a little Vaitim Tosos, it says, Mil, the Kolni Zakin Loamar Shez Man Bezin Lamid Yom, Kumahacha, Dala El Gabi Nishbra Kadav Lo Silko, Nafla Gemal of Lo Amida, Rameir Mechai Bezekan, Ain's Man Bezin Shloshim Yom Sham. Previously, when we spoke about other types of mazikin, like you drop a jug or your camel falls down in a Rosh Hashanah where people could trip on it, Rameir says, Yechayv, and we don't give 30 days. And the reason is because those things you could remove very easily, very quickly. Over here, it's knocking down a wall. You need to bring in a construction crew. It's a different story. But something that you could just pick up, you could just take a broom and sweep up right away. So then you are expected to take care of it right away. Then there's no reason to have to wait 30 days until you take care of it. Misha Yakoslo, Viter in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said if someone's kosel was near his friend's garden, etc., Hamidikthani Seva Helechitio Secha, Machal de Paninu Askinan. From the fact that the case of the Seifa says, take the expenses you incurred in removing these stones, the assumption is that the Balagina had in fact removed the stones. Time of the Paninu sounds like the reason that the Balagina can't keep them is because, the Balagina can keep them is because he removed them. Halopan and Ulo. Sounds like if he did not remove the stones, then the Balagina cannot keep the stones. Amai, but why not? V'tiknulei sadehu. Why don't we say that his sada, his gina, was kona the stones for him? Why do we assume that if the stones are still there, that the Balagina can't say, you know what, these are mine, I'm keeping them. Why don't we assume that his sada was already coded for him? After all, the halach is a person's chatzar could be coded for him, shalomi daito. So answers the Gemara, Hani mili hechel to come chavin laknuyele. Avlachish tamuta yuk to come shtamitai. That's only when someone is trying to be makne something to you. If someone, meaning there are two sides in the kinyan, there's the makne and the kone. So you're right. Mitzad the kone, your chatzah can be kone something without your das, but mitzad the makne need, that's only provided that the makne wants to be makne to you. Over here it fell down. The guy had never intended to be makne to you. He was only trying to be mishtamid, he was only trying to get you to clean it up, but he certainly didn't really intend for you to have it. So we said if you hire a worker to work with the straw, and we said if you want to pay him by telling him, just keep the straw for yourself, that's no good. Now, basically, we had two of the same cases in the Mishnah. One is where you try to tell the guy who's going to clean out the garden, here, keep the stones for yourself, and we said you're not allowed to do that. And now we're saying you try to pay a worker with straw, with commodities, rather than with cash, and we say you're not allowed to do that. So why do we need both cases in the Mishnah? Had we only been told the first case of the case where of the garden, right, where my wall fell into his garden, where I say just keep the stones, we don't listen to him outside. That's because I never hired this guy to do anything for me. He has no I don't owe him any salary. But over here where I owe him money and I owe him the salary, so I would say, okay, so this will go to pay the salary. That whenever, if someone owes you money, you get paid, you'll get paid in bran if you can, get paid in whatever you can, because you're lucky to get paid, you know, just take the paycheck however you can take it. And if I only would have been told the second case of where you're paying a worker, Kabel alav ain't shomon lo mishum de isla igrugabe. Avlacha de lesla igrugabe ain't a shomon lo. That I would say over here that if he was mekabel, meaning the mission then took the case a step further. What if he was mekabel? Said, okay, I'll take the straw, I'll take the stones, I'll take whatever it is that you're giving me. So I would say, yeah, it's only over here that when it's mishakibel alav that ain't shomon lo, that we then don't listen to the balabayas if he says, I changed my mind, I want to give you cash and give me the straw back, because this. I would say because when he paid him the straw and he agreed to take the straw, that was a real transaction, that was a binding, because after all, he owed him money and you're happy to take whatever you can get when you're getting paid. But over here by the wall, I would say that since he doesn't owe him any money, maybe we should listen to the Balakosa where he says, look, you cleaned out the area, you cleaned out all the Avanim from your Gina, take the cash now instead of whatever it costs you to clean it out. I want those stones back. I'm interested in retrieving my stones. So that's why I need to be told both cases. Okay, we'll stop here. So we did leave one full daf to do for tomorrow, but as Hashem, we'll finish Masechta Brachot tomorrow.